Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to OVW Overview, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we bring you coverage and analysis of Ohio Valley Wrestling and discussions with some of the stars themselves. And now the GWH Radio Network presents OVW Overview.
Are you there, Larry?
I sure am.
Okay, sorry. I didn't know if she was playing another theme song or not. Hey, everybody. November 13th, 2011. Hello, OVW, everyone. We got to love live radio. Welcome to the OVW Overview Podcast right here on the GWH Radio Network, of course, brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. And it's that time of the month again, folks. Once a month here, we discuss Ohio Valley Wrestling right here with myself. I'm Trent Van Dries. I just talked to my other, and yes, no matter what you say, Larry, you are considered a co-host, the man also running the switchboard, the man from Norcross, Georgia, because he went south many, many years ago. I'm speaking none other than the legendary Scary Larry Goodman. How you doing, Larry?
I'm doing fine. I apologize for that. Our OVW entrance music, intro music has disappeared and been replaced by with what you heard, so that was a surprise to me, too.
Gotta love surprises. And, boy, Larry, I'll tell you, since our last podcast, there certainly has been a lot of interesting developments, or should
wow.
I say developmentalments? Would that be the word?
I think that would be the word, if
that's,
that's a word.
Developmentalments concerning OVW, as it was announced last Monday, that OVW is now the official developmental territory for TNA wrestling, of all things, which came as a surprise to many people. And Larry, is anybody else on the line that I can introduce?
We have both, yes, our guest and our co-host are both on the line at the present time.
Awesome. Well, let me go ahead then. Let me introduce our other co-host, an OVW star himself of severe magnitude, the most real fake person around. He's got the rug to prove it. Speaking of Muhammad Ali Vaez, how you doing, Ali?
Fantastic on this Sunday, Trent, and nobody plays a better fake Persian than Muhammad Ali Vaez. I'm also joined here by Jamin Olivencia, the man, the man, legend himself. We're on one phone. We figured this would make, you know, less of a problem with the static and whatnot we experienced during show number one. So we're trying to evolve in our craft as well.
Great. How you doing, Jamin?
What's that?
So how you doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
Good, man. Welcome back. Glad you joined us again.
Thanks for having me. You know, I have to agree with Ali. Actually, this is the truth. I did not want to use my minutes, and I'm actually lying because it's the weekend anyway, so minutes are free.
I was going to say, minutes are free on the weekend.
But yeah, I'm a liar.
This does sound a lot better. I mean, this is much better. Ali, last time I thought you were on your flying carpet about 1,000 feet up, but it sounded like, wow.
You know, I would have gotten on the flying carpet, right?
Yeah. The and let me introduce our special guest. Let's not keep him waiting. We have a man of, boy, great stature in the wrestling journalism business, if I can say that. We're three times fast. A PW Insider, the great Mike Johnson, has joined us. Mike, how you doing today?
Hey, guys. I'm doing great. I got to have stature somewhere because I don't have it at night.
Well, Mike, I haven't seen you since, not sure if you remember this or not, but I'm going to, the Chili's in Elizabeth, New Jersey. You remember that?
Yes, I do. That was a long, long time ago. I think I was 12.
Sure. Yeah, you looked about 12 when I saw you. So, boy, great to talk to you, and thank you for joining us now.
Oh, Mike, thank you. I see Larry. I saw Larry. Oh, I'm glad I see Larry. I think in Georgia, WrestleMania weekend.
Dragon Gate. We took in the Dragon Gate show together.
Yeah, Dragon Gate. Kind of funny. I'm coming from Dragon Gate right now.
Yeah, Mike had called me maybe about an hour and a half ago and said he was stuck in traffic between Philly and New York, and he was trying to watch OVW TV on his phone and wasn't having much luck. Mike,
yeah, I got to watch most of episode 637, which was the multi-man match with Nick Dinsmore defending the title. I got to watch most of that on my laptop while we were driving. We're actually still not home. We're driving through Brooklyn as we speak. So,
wow. Busy man. Well, great. Glad you got to see most of that. Well, Mike, I guess we'll start with you. You know, as far as the OVW TNA developmental deal, I guess we'll just start to just give me some of your general thoughts of how that may benefit both OVW and TNA. What do you think of the deal in general?
I think I wrote this on PW Insider. I really feel, OVW and Danny Davis are winners here because it helps bring them back to a stature that they didn't have once WWE pulled up their stakes and moved everything to Florida. In terms of attracting attention for Ohio Valley Wrestling and in particular the school, because we'd always hear the stories about guys like Johnny Jeter waiting tables while they were paying for their wrestling training just as students at OVW and eventually got their chance to get WWE developmental contracts and offers and go on to a larger role and get to the main roster of WWE. This will hopefully start sending some students that are serious about wanting to be in the business towards Louisville instead of everybody, flying south for Tampa and, bring in some more revenue for OVW, bring in more students, have more guys to play with in terms of the roster, have more potential stars that'll get a chance to move up to the next level. Because let's face it, everybody knows it. The business is talent starved right now. And there's a lot of really great talents out there that work the independents and other places. But there's no real place like it used to be. Like ECW is that middle ground between the independents and WWE or the larger companies, and where guys would kind of go to like really cut their teeth. There's no real places like that anymore except for OVW. And if it doesn't have the attention on it, at some point you got the law of diminishing returns. Like Muhammad and Jamin are great performers, but they're working there every week. Now if there's guys from TNA coming in or there's TNA scouts coming in, it's more eyes that are on them and giving them a chance to go to the next level. And it's also more of an opportunity for, let's say, the kid that lives in California that wants to be a pro wrestler to go, all right, well, if I go to OVW and I try to get in there, I know TNA is going to see me. I know WWE is going to see me. I know Ring of Honor is going to see me. So it's a chance for someone that's serious about the business to go somewhere, learn from guys who know what they're doing, like Dinsmore and Rip Rogers and Danny Davis, work with guys who have talent and be seen by people that can get them into a legitimate paying contract. So I was like really excited about it when we first heard about it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think this is really great for OVW. And, to me, it could be as good as TNA wants it to be. OVW's got all these guys, like they say, are over effing prepared. And it could, guys like Muhammad and Jamin here and a whole bunch of guys that if they need a certain character, they can call them up now. But plus, they got the track record of training people so well. So it'll just depend on what TNA is really looking for. I mean, I don't know if they're going to be sending, guys like Garrett Bischoff down up to train or Jersey Shore people. I mean, it appears that TNA is only going to be sending certain people, that they have their eye on to train, which that's fine too. But if it gives OVW more talent and more guys to work with, and like you said, really probably helps the school, more people come in, and it's great. I guess I'll ask you, Ali, two-part question. Well, what's your feelings on the deal? And did you guys know about this ahead of time, or did it come as a surprise to you too?
Oh, no, this came as a total surprise for us. I think Mike hit the nail on the head as far as his analysis of the situation. I mean, it does nothing but benefit us. And really the benefit is like you said, to the OVW school. So that just draws more attention to what we do and, quite frankly, gives us more people to work with. So, yeah, I think it's a tremendously positive development. I mean, you work so hard for opportunities like this, so once they come along, it's nice, especially if it's in your own backyard. So I think it's nothing but a positive. Absolutely. Very excited.
Yeah, and like Jamin, like you and Ali both are in like a unique position because you were in OVW when it was with WWE, you were there when it was independent, and now you're there with TNA and plus Ring of Honor connection. I guess, Jamin, what's your feelings on the deal? And I guess you got to be excited too. And go ahead, Jamin, what do you think about it?
I have to agree with Ali and Mike. Everyone is winning. It's a tremendous opportunity. Not only is it an opportunity for, you know, OVW and the school, it's an opportunity for TNA also, too, to recognize good talent in OVW and also bring guys down and develop their skills, too, as well, and give them the opportunity as well to be or to have the training that we had, you know. It's a win-win situation for everyone involved, you know, the talent, the TNA talent, you know, whatever the details are, who knows, but it's a good opportunity overall.
What's your thoughts, Larry?
It's going to be like a broken record here. I couldn't agree more with what's already been said, but I'm also curious, you know, that, just to shift a little bit, this comes on the heels of the Ring of Honor taping, where, if I've counted right, 11 different guys from the OVW roster were used in the course of that taping. And I just wondered what you guys are feeling, your feelings are on that, with, you know, obviously OVW getting more involved in Ring of Honor, and now here comes TNA in. You know, how do you think that's going to work out?
You know, at the end of the day, we do what we're told. So I believe that there's no issue I'm trying to see how I can word this to where it makes sense. I think if you work for OVW, then you're free to work for TNA if they were to need you for anything, or if you were to work with their talent in OVW, and vice versa with Ring of Honor. But I believe if you're under contract to one of those companies, you can't work for the other company, which makes sense because they're, you know, on a national scene. But that just goes to show the benefit of the relationship with OVW, because it's literally a crossroads now in the business between two viable companies that are an alternative to WWE. So it truly does foster the heart of the business and at the same time provide a tremendous opportunity that doesn't exist anywhere outside of Tampa, Florida.
Yeah, Mike, were you surprised that OVW is going to be able to continue to work with Ring of Honor? Did that aspect of the TNA deal surprise you, Mike?
Well, it did, only because Jim Cornette is very much a black and white guy, and you know, the friend of my enemy is my friend, and he's always been very much, you know, cut and dried. But as it was explained to me, I guess Ring of Honor was pretty much renting the Davis Arena and using it as a facility and having access to OVW, and Cornette and Danny Davis go back, you know, forever and a day. So I wasn't really surprised, but the reality is this. You know, if Cornette likes Davis, Cornette likes OVW, if TNA is going to provide any sort of monetary compensation to OVW or provide a potential contract to someone like Jamin or Muhammad or Michael Hayes or whoever, why would he want to stand in the way of someone making money? If it's a case of TNA is going to be raiding guys that Cornette wants to use for Ring of Honor, well, then you can't be upset about that unless you're putting them under a Ring of Honor contract. You know, Sinclair's got the money to do that if they want. Honestly, I was more surprised that the story didn't turn out to be TNA was interested, so WWE instead signed OVW up to a new developmental deal. Because that was kind of what I always expect. Well, you would think WWE would not want a training ground that's been proven to make stars for them, whether it's Batista or Cena or Orton or Punk or whoever, to go off and work with someone else. I mean, I know they pulled up their stakes and they wanted everything in Florida, but John Laurinaitis has been there and looked at guys and signed people out of OVW and sent them to developmental stints. So you would think that he would rather, or WWE would rather, you know, offer them a weekly stipend and work with them rather than allow TNA to get a foothold in. That's just my opinion. I mean, if I'm WWE and I've got that huge multi-million dollar war trust, I can throw a little bit of money towards OVW and not have to worry about someone else having their talent develop. That's just me, but I guess, you know, it's not, that's why I'm not running WWE.
Wow. Go ahead, Larry.
No, I was just going to say, that would presume that logical business decisions are being made by WWE, which I think is always questionable in my mind, but that's just me.
Can't argue there.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I wasn't thinking in that direction that WWE would snatch it back from TNA, but I guess anything's possible, but they didn't do that. You know, I guess as far as Ring of Honor goes, and maybe Ali and Jamie, you guys might not know either, but I'm thinking going forward, I'm just wondering if, I know you guys aren't under contract and could be used, but I'm wondering if going forward if Ring of Honor will still use so many OVW talents, even if they do rent the Davis Arena. You know, if you guys, if some of you guys are on TNA for some reasons.
Well, you know, there's no, I mean, you know, who knows? As performers, we can't sit there and wonder about that stuff because it's pointless, you know. Obviously, business is done with TNA and OVW now, and business was done with ROH and OVW. If that means more in the future with ROH, then and you know, we have the opportunity to do that, then sure. If not, because of, you know, circumstances with TNA, then whatever, you know. Either way, wherever we're going as far as talent's concerned, we're going to go there and murder it like we always do.
Yeah, you guys got to be excited. Now, just let me ask you this, Ali and Jamin, too. Like, would there be any, I'm trying to think of the right word, and fear ain't the right word, but concern on your guys' part that since OVW is now with TNA and working Ring of Honor, that you guys, you know, maybe wouldn't get a shot with WWE down the line?
I'm sorry, repeat that question one more time, Clint.
Do you think would there be any concerns, you know, that since OVW is now developmental with TNA, that you guys wouldn't be able to go to WWE for that reason down the line if, you know, if you guys wanted
to? Again, you know, if that were a 1% chance that could be the case, I think the other 99% would outweigh it. And what I mean by that is, in this business, you can't turn down an opportunity because you are hoping for some other kind of opportunity that may or may not come about in the future.
Right.
If that makes sense, you know what I mean? You got to take what you, as it comes to you and as the situation unfolds. And as the situation is unfolding currently at OVW, we have two national companies that do business with us on a regular basis. So I kind of feel like hard work that I and Jamin and a few other folks that have put in over the years at OVW, now is the time for us to capitalize on this, and we will capitalize by delivering when we're given the ball. So it's nothing but a positive, nothing but a positive at all. And, you know, if that means that I don't get a job with WWE, then, you know, that's fine. I don't necessarily at this point want to discriminate against one paycheck versus another. But I do believe in myself, and I believe in my talent, and I believe that it's just a matter of time before I am working for one of those companies. It's just a matter of who wants to make that investment pay off first.
And, of course, we've already seen OVW success stories in TNA, most notably writer Matt Barella with Mexican America. Man, that guy, I guess TNA needed a Mexican, and that guy's got a good look, and they grabbed him, and great. He's done great, you know. So for you guys, it's got to be doubly exciting the way it is now, I would just think. So,
Absolutely. Oh, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, in my opinion, strictly my opinion, I think OVW has always produced the best talent you see, whether it's in WWE, whether it's in TNA, or, you know, who knows, whether it's in ROH too in the near future. You know, it's a good spot to learn your craft and hone your skills. And, you know, depending on where we go, whether it is WWE, TNA, or ROH, whatever, whoever wants to make that first investment, as Ali was saying, will do it. And the people that do get that opportunity will do it to the best of their abilities, and I think do it well, you know. And there's no, you know, you know, as performers, at least for me and Ali, if I could speak for Ali, it's like we don't even worry about that anymore, you know. When it comes, you just do it and you kick ass, and there's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it, you know. OVW's prepared us well, and, you know, I think we're very proud to be a part of that.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm excited for you guys, I really am. Now, Mike, I know you followed OVW back in the day. Did you follow it much at all after they lost their WWE deal, and are you surprised that OVW was able to persevere and even have a revival of sorts even before the TNA deal came along?
I was getting the TV during the developmental deal, and then even afterwards, you know, and it's weird, you know, I work online, but even with the advent of the technology, it's not the same for me watching stuff on the computer, so I don't watch it. I wasn't watching as often, but I was, you know, following it through your reports. obviously,
yeah.
and through, you know, Jason Saint is another guy who sends out a lot of information, and so
yeah.
I kind of kept abreast of it. I was never shocked. I always felt like at some point it was going to end up back in, I guess, the mainstream of the news again, because I always felt like Danny Davis didn't invest all this time and effort in building that building, and there's all, you know, hundreds of hours of television, dozens and dozens of people who had legitimate careers coming out of that. It wasn't just going to up and die. Like, when Joe Hamilton, Deep South, he lost his developmental deal, I wasn't surprised to see that fall apart, because there was no real foundation there before WWE went in there. OVW always had that foundation dating back when they were running in Indiana, before the original Davis Arena was created. So
right.
I never thought
right.
it was going to go away. I'm very, honestly, I was so happy about the TNA deal, because it was like, I always felt like OVW was like one of those things where it was an important, step, like a stepping stone in people making their careers. And then it was kind of forgotten about when WWE moved everything to Florida. And with the exception of guys like Sheamus and a couple others, you couldn't really make the argument that they were developing talent out of Florida Championship Wrestling, because you got 80 guys working under three trainers, and one of those trainers is dedicated specifically to working with the Divas. And so you're not going to have that same level of expertise that you got out of people who were working with Cornette and Dinsmore and Rip Rogers and Al Snow and people like that. So to me, I was like, this is great. And obviously Bruce Pritchard, who was apparently, the huge proponent about putting the
right.
deal together, he knows what OVW brought to the table. He worked for WWE in so many different, specific positions. So to me, I mean, I was nothing but overjoyed. I couldn't have been happier when I was writing about that, because I feel like it was a group that unfortunately was getting overlooked. And, you look at the AWE pay-per-view, and it was all the OVW guys that were having the best matches and kind of stealing the show. And I'm not saying that because two of them are on the line, but when you look up and down that line, up and down that card, Muhammad had the perfect type of match that Axel Duggan should have had. Jamin had the show stealer with Sanjay. Silva had a good match with Finlay. It probably would have went better if they weren't trying to stretch out for time after the Funk Dreamer thing went to hell. But if you look at it, the OVW talents were the guys that really were the foundation of that show. And to me, I was like, all right, well, I'm not really surprised, because OVW's always had guys who had great specific foundations in terms of working and in terms of wrestling. And, I mean, even watching the more recent TV, still the guys can still talk, and they talk like wrestlers should, not like actors pretending to be wrestlers, which is how a lot of the guys on the main TV, on the main national TV shows come across.
Yeah, boy, all great points, and I read the other day, Mike, that 41% of the WWE's roster right now is in Florida. 41%. They got how many guys do they have in FCW? And, man, they got no place for these guys to go. Where can these guys go? And to me, TNA is going to be smart, if they only do sign a few guys to contracts and train a few specific guys and use some guys in roles, because, man, FCW is just so strange to me, because what can they do with these 80 guys, Mike? Where can they go?
Well, I mean, I understand the concept behind it, which is like they want to have like their Olympic training facility. Well, that's great. But the same people working every week in the same four towns in Florida working against the same developmental guys, they're only going to learn so much. Like, the one thing OVW always had, and it still does, they go and they run different markets. I mean, I know it's not huge road trips, but, they would run Indiana, they would run Elizabethtown, they would run Louisville. And the TV was there every week, so it was kind of like a smaller version of what Memphis wrestling would be, where every week the guys have to come up with something. And I'm sure the wrestlers can talk about that in more depth than I can, but every week they've got to have something new, and they've got to go out into the towns and elicit a reaction from the fans. And a lot of those fans are going to be there every week, so you can't just rely on the same old spots that you would. If you're working in New York and then you're working in Pennsylvania the next day, and then the day after that you're working in Delaware, and the day after that you're working in Maine, you can kind of get away with doing the same things. When you work in a territory like OVW kind of has every week, you can't rely on the same old tricks. You've got to always improve. And that's the one thing they have over, I think, every other group that really runs, whether it's an independent or even a place like Ring of Honor, where they run different varied markets. They're not in front of the same fans all the time. So the guys can kind of get away with doing similar things in their matches. But OVW, you can't do that. And I think that's where a lot of the edge for these guys come from in terms of why they're
better prepared, or as you said, overprepared, in regards to when the national contracts come.
Any comment, Ali or Jamin? Mike's doing a pretty good job here, isn't he?
I think it's absolutely right. I mean, it's one thing to work in front of the same people all the time, but I think also what makes OVW unique is that because it's a weekly television show, you've got experience, or you get experience every week hitting time cues and hitting marks and the small things that go into being able to deliver when you get an opportunity on a national stage. That if you've never worked television before and you've never felt those hot lights and you've never actually, you know, practiced as you would play, you're not going to be as prepared as someone who does it every week. So, yeah, I think it's absolutely right. It's a combination of that and working a territory system. Like, it's a mini version of what existed in the 80s with all these different competing companies. It's territory, and we literally travel every weekend and do shows within the territory. And we use television to sell the shows. That's what it comes down to. So learning that skill on a small stage makes you much more prepared when you get to that big stage.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Mike, you said that you saw most of episode 637, so...
Yeah, I'm very upset Karen Shay is not pregnant. I was really looking forward to the baby shower.
Well, she's got those childbirthing hips, but that's only an illusion, Mike. She could pop one out any time, but old Benny was not the demon seed.
Yeah, I got to tell you, when Mo Green walked out, I popped huge. I love Mo Green. I was like, oh, my God, Mo Green. I hadn't saw that guy in a while. I popped huge. I enjoyed the TV show. I thought Paradise has a great deal and is really good at getting his character over. There was a backstage bit with Cliff Compton and Muhammad, and I actually wanted to talk to Muhammad about that, because I heard there was some sort of heated incident backstage at the Saturday Night Show last night, so we could ask him about that. I thought that whole bit was great. The eight-way, I thought the booking in that was just tremendous. Whoever laid that out was because I was like, oh, my God, so many guys in one segment. And I knew they, obviously, from watching the show, they had 20, 30 minutes to do it. But I was kind of dreading watching it because I've seen so many multi-man matches on the independents where it all goes to hell in a handbasket real quick, as they say. The booking on that was great. I thought Nick Dinsmore, as like the angry 10-time OVW champion veteran, the first promo on the show, he was tremendous. It's like it's real easy to forget how good he was as Mr. Wrestling after years of seeing him as Eugene. But it's like, like the bitter veteran. I always love that character. The Kid Cash does a great job of that in TNA right now. There's just something about that just really works. So I enjoyed the TV. It was like, I forgot how good wrestling television is after, watching TNA and WWE every week on my TV. Because you get a taste of it with Ring of Honor now, but I don't get Ring of Honor in New York. So, again, I got to watch it online. I don't enjoy watching stuff on the computer as much. Watching the episode 637, I think it was, I enjoyed it, and it kind of had that feel. There's backstage vignettes, but it's not over the top. And everything that's supposed to happen is in front of the fans. So I thought it was a fun, entertaining hour.
That's exactly it, Mike. That's what I've said. The reason I enjoy OVW, one of the many reasons is, and I'm just like you, I'm not a huge fan of watching wrestling on a computer. I watch some shows that I like, but I like watching it on TV. And WWE and stuff, man, life is just too short to waste it watching crappy wrestling. And I really enjoy Ring of Honor's product, but it's very, very serious. And there's something about OVW that just kind of, it can be real serious, but it's kind of got that goofy level of fun, too. You know what I'm talking about?
I totally know what you mean. Like, it's really hard. Like, I think Chikara has a good mix of, like, the fun and the serious. And a lot of people dismiss it because of the masks and characters like the ants and all that. I think it's hard because there's so much, I always say it, there's so much white noise now with all these different channels and all these different ways to attract attention with social media. It's hard just to find that right balance because I think everyone, just from decision makers when it comes to studios down to pro wrestlers, everyone kind of overthinks everything and kind of thinks, all right, well, how is this going to get over in comparison to the 10,000 other things that are out there?
it's a lot harder to be an entertainer now, I think, and to create original content than it's ever been before.
But yeah, I know what you mean with OVW. There was more like that balance of old school, but it was still patterned in a way that it was training the guys, and the guys could learn what it's like to work a weekly wrestling TV show. So any of those guys, any of those characters, they wouldn't feel unfamiliar if next week they got signed and were plugged into SmackDown. That's kind of how I took a lot of that stuff.
Yeah. Guys are in shape and ready to go. And the thing about OVW, Mike, like if you watch the episodes, stuff there, I'd say 95% of the time, maybe more, makes sense. Like a little backstage segment, it'll come back around in a couple weeks again. It all ties together and makes sense. And they also generally, you know, take the time to kind of let their storylines cook and let things develop. And when you do that, so many more great stories bloom out of it. You know, all this booking WWE does now, you know, they're in a corner and then it sucks because they got to come up with something quick. Well, OVW, they'll take their time and let their stories bake, and then stuff comes out of it. I mean, that 8-man melee match you mentioned, my God, you know, the booking of that match was, the match itself was good, but the way it was laid out was good. And you're right, unique rules in an 8-man melee. But to me, the storytelling of that match, because you had the Elite at each other's throats, you had Raul Lamada turning on Bowen Services 2.0 during the match, you had Chris Muskegee turning on Mike Mondo at the end, you had Rudy Switchblade shocking the world by winning the OVW title, you had Jason Wayne making a strong showing, you had Nick Densmore as the heel champ, and that's a crap load of stuff to put in one match, but man, it worked, you know, it just worked.
Yeah, and like I said, whoever laid that out and whoever booked that stuff, it's not easy to integrate all those different things into one match and not have it fall apart, because if one segment of that doesn't click right, everything that follows it loses the momentum. And I mean, I saw that literally in the last 24 hours with the match I saw last night, and it's like you watch it fall apart, and you can just see the frustration in everybody's eyes as they're trying to fix it. And once you lose that momentum, it's like tripping in a marathon. You never get it back.
Right.
And, you know, but that match, I sat there and I literally was thinking, like, this won't be a match that people will go, oh, this was the match of the year or this was that. But they should, because when you look at what all the goals that they accomplished in that half hour, they did more in that half hour to get over the importance of the title, all the rivalries, crowning the champion. They did more in that half hour than most of the national companies will do to get over their next pay-per-view in 4 to 6 weeks.
Well, how's that for a glowing endorsement, guys? What do you say to that? Golly. I know, Larry, you enjoyed that 8-man match too, didn't you? You have any
very much.
That?
I mean, again, I agree with everything that's said. And as you mentioned, the follow-up on the follow-through on stories, I know from what Mike seen this one show, couldn't appreciate the wackiness of the Tony Gunn character. But, I mean, you know, a guy using, with a stuffed bear, and then he winds up, I guess, at the Saturday Night Special or at the TV, loading the bear and using it as a weapon.
Yeah.
And the follow with Raul Lamada taunting Bowen Services 2.0 from the balcony, I mean, that's really good stuff.
Yeah. It all ties together, and when stuff makes sense, you can keep it going, and then you have 5-6 erections, you can go. Now, Mike, what did you want to talk to Ali about? Tell me about this backstage stuff. What went on?
Yeah, I guess there was some sort of incident with the finish of the match with Compton, and you and Compton got into some sort of words backstage last night. Because I got like three texts about it this morning. So what exactly happened?
Wait a minute, I'm sorry. We had some technical difficulty there. Can you repeat that question?
Yeah, there was apparently some sort of issue with you and Cliff Compton last night at the Saturday Night Special afterwards backstage, where the story was that there was unhappiness with the finish, and you and Cliff had words backstage in front of everybody.
Oh, not at all. Not at all. You know, I'm not one to air dirty laundry, especially in any kind of public forum, but nothing of the sort really happened. Sometimes these things are overblown and exaggerated. If anything, I thought Cliff and I furthered the business between Michael Hayes and myself, and it was just another opportunity to show that I can work with anybody. So, no, I wouldn't put much stock into everything you hear, though.
Right, because when reading Trent's report, it sounded like you guys had hit on all the bullet points of what you had needed to build up to that, you know, the showdown with Muhammad and Hayes down the line.
Yeah, exactly, and that's what the idea was, and it came across very well, so I was very happy with it. the people were happy with it as well. So, you know.
Yeah,
fair enough.
That match definitely had the most crowd reactions of the night. And Ali, what was the story with Ben Hameen coming back? Was that just one and out, or is that leading to something more?
Well, the overlying theme in the Michael Hayes story that we've been telling is that anytime I get in trouble, I bring in somebody from my past to try to bail me out. Mm. And that was just continued last night with Ben Hameen. He's a guy who spent years here as well, trying to break in on the creative side of the business as well. And the stars aligned right that he could make it down here for the Saturday Night Special, and, you know, I was in trouble. So I called the men I could trust.
Oh, man. I don't know if you noticed, Ali, last night, but some poor, depraved, misguided soul had the audacity to hold up a sign last night that said, Hacksaw Duggan fears Ali. What the hell is that?
You know, he got lucky. He got lucky, Trent. He should fear me. One of these days, I'll run the Hacksaw again. One of these days. And it'll be different, I'm telling you.
And as far as the finish with Compton, Mike, Compton hit Ali in the nuts. So I figured Ali today has just got some one of his harem girls, you know, fanning his private parts with a big olive branch or fig leaf or something. I don't know what's going on. But
there's another one. The visual I didn't need.
You know, Compton cracked him low. I mean, say what you want to say, but Compton cracked him low. That was the finish. So, I will say last night, Ali, and I think there was too much track meet stuff going on, like between, you know, Bray and Silvio, and then Gunn and Shiloh, and, you know, and then your match with Compton, and then, you know, Mondo chasing Muscagney around. I think there was too much chasing going on last night would be one thing I would say. Because Compton chased you to the back. Like one time you crawled through the babyface entrance, I thought the whole damn place was going to throw you back out the door.
They weren't happy. They weren't happy that I was back there. They were not happy. No. I mean, what are you going to do? So, it is what it is, Trent, you know. And like I said, I can only control. And at this point, I've realized all you can control is how jacked and tan you are. So, you know, it may be a valid point when looked at from a macro level, but the only thing I really think about in the aftermath, I'm sorry, leading up to this is what my contributions are. But yeah, I guess if every match is going to the outside, that's a lot. I mean, I guess it's just that heated. It's that heated,
yeah.
Trent. You contain it into the ring.
Yeah, but your match with Cliff was good. I mean, I thought you guys, you know, clicked pretty well. And I'll tell you, the match with Rudy and Mike Mondo was really good. Non-title match. Boy, that match was really, really clicking. And then
awesome. Yeah, how awesome. Mike Mondo is just phenomenal.
Boy, he was really – he was on last night, buddy. And so was Switchblade. Those guys are both just on, you know. And just a beautiful match to watch. And then that stupid snake – a filthy, foul stinker, Muscagney. Mondo's getting hung over the ropes, and Muscagney's pulling on Mondo's foot. And I don't know, WWE Facebook, now Mike Johnson is saying that Mike Mondo spent the night in the hospital in severe pain. So I don't know what's going on there.
Dastardly heels.
I know.
Hey, are you guys up for taking a caller?
Sure,
I would love to.
All right. Area code 502, you're on OVW Overview.
What a coincidence, this dastardly heel, this snake.
Oh,
snake.
Yeah, good. I'm glad.
Wait a second. Is that Christian Muscagney on the line?
This is the man with all the stroke around OVW, Christian Muscagney, maker of champions.
Now, who are we
and
talking
actually, about? To be serious for a second, I called in earlier just because I wanted to back up what Ali said in terms of whoever is saying it was backstage crap. I've read some articles online you know, number one, I can't wait to find out. There's only eight, nine people down there. It's been completely exaggerated, blown out of proportion. And my hat is off to Ali for saying what he said. And honestly, there was not much to it. And I don't know how it's gotten blown out like this. I don't know who would have said that to get it blown up like this.
Mike Johnson.
But now I've been listening long enough, and after y'all comment, we'll talk about Mr. Mondo.
And Mike, have you seen Mr. Muskegne? Mike, if you watch Ring of Honor TV, the one that aired, I guess last Saturday, in the boardroom with
with Kevin Steen,
the bald-headed attorney,
the man who brought Kevin Steen back.
You got Kevin Steen back. They've done a good job building that angle. I'm looking forward to that when they do that at the final. But he comes back in New York City, I think. I knew he had been in OVW before, and when he popped up, I was like, I know that face. And I laughed. I like when the guys get a chance to do different things like that. Because, I mean, why not use the OVW talents for vignettes like that and matches like that? Because, you can trust them to get the job done.
Yeah. Hey, Christian, I got to ask you, in that segment with Steen at the table, who was that big oaf to the left of Steen sitting at the table? Who was that guy? You know what I'm talking about?
His name's Tim Dennison. He's a legitimate attorney.
Wow.
Actually, a good friend of Jerry Lawler, and has done some independent Indiana shows, playing heel to whoever Lawler was fighting on, like Todd Morton's shows, or some of those smaller venue Indiana shows.
He looks like a Geico caveman.
The courthouse, they call him Meatloaf.
Who is that?
That's, the singer Meatloaf.
Yes. Well, Christian, you are certainly on top of the OVW world. I'm glad you called. You're managing the champion Rudy Switchblade, and we were talking about the eight-man melee match. So,
I've been listening to the show. I thought going into it, I was like, oh my God, this is going to be a disaster. And
yeah.
I always fear those. What little that I've now seen seems like those multiple people matches with different storylines end up being a mess. I thought everybody in there did a really good job. And it's unfortunate that Mikey was clumsy and fell because, he could have been world champion. So maybe he needs to work on his coordination. Unfortunately, apparently something happened last night. Not enough air got to his brain. He was choked, apparently, and so I don't know if we're going to see him again. He may be a vegetable, and to tell you the truth, I couldn't care less.
Man, I got to tell you, when he was being hung over the ropes, you were pulling on his legs. I thought, you snake.
Seriously, he can live in that hospital on a breathing machine for all I care. All I did for that guy, and he has the audacity to question anything that I say or do. I mean, all the ingrates. He's just like Compton, just like everybody else. I take him to the top, and then they forget who got him there.
Hey, Christian, what flavor was that birthday cake?
It actually was a nice combination of some frosting, some green frosting. I think it had a little vanilla in it, a little butter. It was actually didn't taste too bad.
And that was so funny last night, Larry, because it was cake and frosting stains all over the mat. Anybody who wanted a free meal, all I had to do was lick the mat last night.
I kind of wanted to come out, since we tape on Wednesday and air on Saturday, I kind of wanted to come out with the cake still on my face. So I took a picture of it and was like, maybe I'll buy the same cake and do exactly symmetric how it was.
Now, Mike, you have not seen the gentleman named Marcus Anthony yet, have you?
No, I haven't.
Well, if you picture a combination of Mr. T with no jewelry and Ezekiel Jackson with better charisma, you got this guy.
Ah.
And Muskegee's managing this guy, and in dark matches, he's been beaten 2, 3, 4 people at once, and I'm telling you, to be real honest with you, when he gets on OVW TV, I'm not sure why he's not on there yet, maybe Christian can comment, but I don't think it'll be long, but he's got that old school kind of 80s feel about him, and he can kind of pull off the power moves with some, you know, crispness. I'm not sure how much experience he's got, but got a nice smile, and the camera loves him, and he's one of those guys, man, if like the Hogans and Bischoffs of the world get a look at that guy, they're gonna want him. What do you say about Marcus Anthony, Christian?
You know, he's great. Before I get into him, is this Jamin and Ali that are both on?
Yeah.
Okay, I wasn't sure. Anyway, I want to just get one point across in all seriousness. First off, the way they represented OVW at that pay-per-view,
yes,
unbelievable. I mean, I think, no question, they stole the show. And, you know, I don't necessarily like all of the people in the OVW locker room, but I'm going to say this. You know, if these TNA guys, these Impact guys, developmentals, you know, I heard how it was when WWE sent down their guy, their contract guys, but and kind of disregarded the guys in OVW didn't have contracts. But, I mean, if they think that's going to happen, and I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about, I think our top 10 to 15 wrestlers, and that includes Ali and Jamin, can go with any of those guys. And I think, you know, I'm almost worried that half our roster is going to be gone by 6 months into this thing because for some reason OVW has been overlooked. But, you know, I'm a wrestling fan first and foremost. And, you know, Trent, I've told you this before, I DVR Raw, SmackDown, and Impact. That's 5 hours, 6 hours of wrestling that I usually get through in about 20 minutes. And
yeah.
Put our top 10 to 15 guys against any wrestling in the country. And I'd put our show against any in the country. And so I think these developmental guys, I think they're going to have a hard time, number one, getting TV time. And I think, you know, they're going to look bad when they get in the ring and they see how good the OVW talent is. I think this is more of something that's good for TNA than it is for OVW.
Well, it could be good for everybody is a thing, though. No.
Well, it will. I mean, financially, obviously, yeah. It's great for OVW, and I'm glad that guys like Ali and Jamin, you know, I predict will end up with contracts, you know, somewhere down the road, you know, at TNA, WWE, wherever, high paying, but... You know, it just shocks me, you know, just like when I read the wrestling web pages, you know, I mean, Trent, you're basically the main person that covers OVW. I mean, it's like, I don't know. It's like I just don't understand. I think that the top 10 or 15 on our roster can go with anybody.
Well, yeah, it's just OVW is considered an indie, and then when it lost WWE deal, people kind of lost interest in it, but... I think that was a mistake, but now that they're TNA deal, I think, you know, the interest is going, it may not be as big as it was back in the day, but I think the interest is going to increase in OVW now, just, you know, naturally as being back in the news again. So, you know,
I think if anybody would come out to a show and watch it, especially the Saturday Night Special, and they're a true wrestling fan that stopped watching it because it's gotten so stupid on TV, they would be hooked on OVW and they'd be coming back. I think the problem is getting the word out that we exist.
Yeah, that's a problem on all the indies.
But, you know, honestly, I mean, Marcus Anthony, he's a stud. He's a good guy. He works hard. I mean, he's obviously going to make it somewhere. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets signed way too quickly. You know, by WWE, just because TNA is now going to be developmental. But, you know, honestly, the main reason I was calling is I was standing backstage the entire time with Cliff and Ali, and I've just been so upset at what I read this morning. You know, blowing it out of proportion, painting Ali in a light that I do not think was fair. And I mean, I don't even like Ali that much. But, you know, just in the interest of being in the interest of fairness and telling the truth. I mean, all this tells me is that some douchebag in our locker room, or two or three douchebags in our locker room, are going off and saying and exaggerating and lying about the way stuff happens.
Question. Hold on. We are talking about the same publications that stated I was not a believable person. So it's not like you should get that upset about everything you read online.
Well, I mean, you also said that Matt Borrello was a credible worker and star. So I guess, I mean, anything, anybody can say anything. So but just because it's said or just because it's on the internet doesn't mean it's true.
Mike, you troublemaker, you. Listen, I'm not. If I was a troublemaker, I wouldn't have called into the show today and said, "Hey, this is what I've heard. Well, let's talk about it." I'm the last person to be hiding behind my keyboard. I'm at more shows than anybody.
I hope that Matt Borrello is not the measuring stick that TNA is looking at, because I wouldn't even put him in our top 15.
Well, as I said earlier, you know, I thought the OVW guys were, they stole the AWE pay-per-view. And watching the TV,
absolutely,
as I said, you could still see, you know, there's guys who are ready and prepared, and they could be put on television immediately. The problem is, and it's not just OVW guys, it's anybody who's like a traditional wrestling personality now. The people in charge of the national companies don't want traditional wrestlers anymore. But yet they can't understand why the product that they're putting out there is not being embraced by the masses beyond people who don't understand what pro wrestling is supposed to be. You know, it's WWE's product of work for younger kids, but the average wrestling fan that grew up on the business, and I've got friends that have been to every WrestleMania, and they're at the point now where they're like, yeah, I don't feel like watching anymore. And when you're losing those fans, there's a disconnect, and it breaks down to they're not utilizing talents that, you know, are interesting wrestling fans. And it's not the talent's fault. It's because they're doing what they're asked to do.
Yeah. Hey, Jamin, are you there?
Yep. Sorry.
Sorry, buddy. I didn't mean to bore you to death.
No, you didn't bore me to death. Here's the situation. Here's the situation. My ears are plugged, so this is very difficult for me to digest in general.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the Jamin Olivencia Show.
You know, like I said, the Jamin Olivencia is not only an experience in itself, but I would have to say that it's one of the more exhilarating experiences I've ever truly felt, and for the people that surround themselves around me. No, like I said, to be that guy that people look at and want to be when they're older, is it's overwhelming. It's exciting, you know?
You know what I mean?
And I would like to make a testament to the Jamin Olivencia Show, because to see him fight through these allergy issues, to be brave enough to be on this podcast and listen to a 25-minute Christian Miscavige promo.
That's pretty brave.
Man's character.
Let's start it off smooth. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Jamin Olivencia Show. I am your host, Jamin Olivencia, and tonight we have a very special guest on the show, Christian Miscavige. Now, Christian, the question in the air, Rudy Switchblade, WWE heavyweight champion, loses to Mike Mondo last night at the Saturday Night Special.
I saw it.
My question, does this make Mike Mondo better than your OVW champion? Because it's almost like a repeating thing. Rudy Switchblade's getting all the light, he's getting all the shine, the glamour, you name it, he's doing it, but he loses his matches. An example, there's this guy named Jamin Olivencia, beat him not too long ago, no problem. Last night, SNS, Mike Mondo beats Rudy Switchblade, no problem. My question to you is, are you managing losers?
Oh.
I mean, I certainly managed a couple losers, and I think once I realized they were, it became apparent to the rest of the world that they were losers. But, Jay, I guess to go to your first thing, I was not with Rudy Switchblade when he fought a young, hungry Jamin Olivencia. So I say that, had that match happened again and had I been in Rudy's Corner. I would certainly, it's a match I'd, as a fan, I'd pay to see and see if you can do it when you've got to deal with me and my shenanigans. As far as Mondo's concerned, here's all I'm going to say. Rudy dominated the match. Mondo hit a lucky move. Mike Mondo's in the hospital. Apparently, we're not going to be seeing Mike Mondo for a long time. So, to quote the great Jesse the Body Ventura, he sure didn't look like no winner. They laid him out and took him to the hospital, and apparently he's having some problems with oxygen getting into his brain, and, you know, easy come, easy go. If he dies, he dies.
Wow. Jamin, can I ask you a question, Jamin, on your show here?
Sure.
Well,
last
night, Timmy Baltimore spoke of an incident where he tasered you and you peed your pants. Can you elaborate on this?
I really can. Me and Timmy, oh boy, we had, I don't know if you were watching OVW then or... I don't even know if it was...
That was the debut of Yancey, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, here's the story. I'm going to make this as short as possible.
Okay.
Me and Timmy had a feud going on, and this is when I was doing the Jamin Leventia show at the time, and the whole feud basically consisted of me making fun of his disability. Which, for the record, was not my decision. However, that was something he wanted to do, and he thought it'd be fun. So, I mean, call him a psycho, probably so. But, no, that was something he wanted to do, and for OVW. So we went ahead with that, and one of the payoffs was for him to tase me with a taser eventually. You know, he finally shuts me up, and I was supposed to piss my pants, like, in the middle of the ring. Well... What ended up happening was he ended up tasing me, and my body literally – so I haven't pissed all day, right? Like, I've been holding this piss all day. So I couldn't wait. I'm telling you, I remember like, it was like when doors opened, I was, like, ready to go at any moment. So I'm, like, holding this all day, and my bladder's about to explode. So basically, it gets time for it. He tases me, and my whole body tightens up. So – I couldn't piss in the moment. I just couldn't do it. So I was...
Uh-oh. Hello?
I'm still here.
I'm here.
I think Jamin had a problem.
Well,
I think Jamin got cut off and... everything tightened up again.
No, I hit the mute button, I believe.
Okay.
All right,
you said you got tased, you tightened up, and you couldn't piss.
I was trying to be the man. Yeah, I got tased, and I tightened up, and I couldn't piss. So, this was supposed to be on television. Well, it didn't make it to television because the cameras went dark after the segment. So I rolled to the outside, and it just released. Like, it just released. I felt like I was in kindergarten. I really did. I felt like I was sitting Indian style in kindergarten. You know, you dance like somewhere in your life along the line. Like, that's how I felt. It was warm. It was uncomfortable. And I saw a puddle right by, right where I was sitting. It was awful. And there was just, I just look over to my right, and I'm sitting down like Indian style, like a child. And just, there was this, like, fan hovering over the thing, and he's just like, sucks to be you. And I'm like, yeah, man. I didn't know what to tell him. So,
you have no idea.
Well, it was pretty funny. So,
wow.
Yeah, so I felt bad for the trainees because they had to clean it up, you know.
Yeah, boys.
Fuck for them, I guess, you know.
Jamin, since I'm on the Jamin Oliventia show, if I may ask you a question and retort. When did you lose your fire and your desire and become this fan-pleasing parody of what you used to be? I mean, you go out last night and you lose to Paradise, and, I mean, the Jamin Oliventia that I watched as a fan is the one that made fun of a cripple and was the one that I saw on the pay-per-view, the Legends pay-per-view. You know, when did you turn into such a fan-pleasing corporate butt kisser? I mean, I want to see the real Damon Olivencia. I don't want to see this watered down Damon Olivencia.
You name it, you might think it. Damon Olivencia confuses a lot of people. Damon Olivencia is so. Damon Olivencia.
Did he hit the mute button?
No one can ever be him. That's that question. Jamin, are you a good guy or are you a bad answer? No.
I'm not saying you're a good guy or bad guy. I'm just saying you're this watered-down parody of the Jamin Olivencia that I knew and that
speaking.
I admired.
Who's speaking? Jamin Olivencia? Jamin Olivencia speaking. Jamin Olivencia speaking. So, with that being said, a fan pleaser? No.
Jamin, we're losing you.
Jamin, how in the world are you going to run a show if you can't even work a phone? That's my point. You're not the same. I want my Jamin back.
Jamin's back.
Actually,
what's going on?
We're losing you. You're breaking up.
We're losing you.
All right, where did I break up, and I'll continue on.
You're talking about Jamin Olivencia, Jamin Olivencia, Jamin Olivencia, and you broke up.
Yeah, I know. And if you could spell my name, that's Olivencia. That's Olivencia. A crowd pleaser? Absolutely not. A crowd lover? Probably. The man? Absolutely. Jamin Olivencia is all of the above.
I want to see the Jamin Olivencia that was at the pay-per-view last month. That's the Jamin Olivencia that I want to see and that the fans want to see.
Look, this is what I can guarantee each and every one of you, and I'm being dead serious. You guys are going to see a lot of big things coming from me in the very near future. I'm telling you right now, I can say it in the most humble way. I'm going to say it humbly because it's more of a blessing the way I look at it, but I'm your next big star in the industry. That's all there is to it.
Well, it sounds to me like Mascagni's almost making overtures, you know, to be your manager or something. That's almost the way I'm reading this, like he's hitting.
You know what, Trent? Let's cut to the chase. I won't even pretend. I would love to have Jamin in my camp, and I would love to have the old Jamin Olivencia, the vicious Jamin Olivencia. The Jamin Olivencia doesn't mind bending the rules a little bit sometimes. I would have that Jamin Olivencia in my camp.
Hey, Mascagni,
I'd probably consider double crossing Rudy if Jamin came on board.
Oh, so here we go. Yeah, double crossing Rudy. I got to
go with whoever the best is.
I noticed that. Well, let me change gears here, Mike. We've kept you on for an hour, so I got one more question for you, Mike, and I'll let you do some plugs and I'll let you go. Appreciate you coming out. Some great insight.
I'll do this anytime. I just wish I wasn't doing it while I'm leaving, trying to get from Philadelphia to New York.
No,
to do another.
No, I really appreciate your time. You've really been great. I guess my last question for you, Mike, is, I guess long term, you know, groups like OVW and even, you know, Ring of Honor and Dragon Gate and Chikara, all these kind of groups, how do you see their long term chances of success? Do you think they can be around in year two, 5 years, or down the line? The way wrestling is, like you said, you know, the people don't even know the old time wrestlers anymore. Do you think that they can last long term?
The fan in me prays that they're always going to be around.
Yeah,
but the reality is, you know, there were some great groups like Smoky Mountain and ECW and Watts, and they didn't last forever either. So you kind of go, realistically, everything has its, you know, its life expectancy at some point, either through finances or lack of interest. Things are always going to move on and die, and something else will hopefully sprout up and take its place. You know, to me, the thing that is always going to be a constant is there's always going to be someone out there that wants to run their own company and do something different and unique, whether it's Mike Weber or Jim Cornette or Danny Davis or whoever. And there's always going to be a need for a replenishing of talent. So you're going to need a place like OVW where talents can go. And I'm hoping that a national company like WWE or TNA or Ring of Honor, if they get larger, or someone new that comes out of nowhere and shocks us by, you know, staking their place in the ground and actually making some money, will always realize that and subsidize a group like OVW. Maybe not own it, but at least go, well, we need some place for these guys to go, and we need some place for them to be groomed, and we need some place for our raw guys to be able to become better. So we need to have those. I mean, long term, who knows? You know, one day Vince McMahon's going to die, and that's the day we should all worry about, because that's the day Wall Street and everyone else is going to go, oh, wrestling's dead. It died with Vince.
Yeah.
And that's what worries me. And, I mean, as goes WWE, goes everything else. So there's always going to be the trickle-down effect. But to me, you know, all we can ever hope for is that these groups are always going to be there. I hope that they are. I love watching them. I love going to them. I love writing about them. You know, there's always a vibrancy and a uniqueness and an intensity to independent wrestling in general that you will not get going to Madison Square Garden or the Los Angeles Coliseum or WrestleMania. It's just that intimacy and that uniqueness is lost when it's blown up. You know, it's the difference between going to see a good independent movie and going to see a Hollywood blockbuster. Something gets lost in the translation. Maybe one looks a little more pretty on the IMAX screen than the other, but you're losing something in the translation. So, you know, there's no answer. I hope OVW is always going to be there. I hope, you know, it's there in 2050. I don't know. I certainly hope, and I feel the same way about Ring of Honor and all these other groups. You know, a lot of them are working very hand-to-mouth, and the only thing you can hope for is that everyone who's listening is paying to watch the product, because the piracy and issues like that, which is a whole other storyline we could talk about another time, while the larger companies can absorb those losses, the smaller groups cannot. When the smaller groups go, there's nothing new for the newer groups to fulfill their talent pools with.
A great answer, Mike. And, boy, you've been fantastic on this show. We really appreciate it. And go ahead and throw any – plug your stuff, Mike. Plug your wonderful website.
Yeah, PWInsider.com is where I work. At 4 o'clock, I'll be doing ongoing coverage of the Chikara Internet pay-per-view. 8 o'clock, I'll be doing the TNA Turning Point pay-per-view, so please feel sorry for me. And, you know, I appreciate everybody, you know, even having me on and wanting to listen to me. And I love writing about wrestling. I love pro wrestling. And, you know, I got a Twitter at MikePWInsider. And, you know, if there's ever anything I can do to promote OVW or any other group out there, I'm more than happy to do it, because I love pro wrestling. I'm just very blessed to be in the position that I'm in.
Well, thank you,
and thank
Mike.
Thank you, guys.
Actually,
it was awesome. I had so much fun.
And actually, Mike, I'd like to maybe get you on in maybe 5 or 6 months, and we could talk about maybe how the TNA deal has worked out. Would that be okay?
I'd love that. You just let me know, and I'm absolutely down for it. I would absolutely tremendously love to do it.
Okay, thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. Have a good day.
All right, you guys have a great day, and, you know, keep up the good work.
Thank you for reporting and letting people know that OVW is out there.
It's my pleasure. If there's something more I can do, please let me know.
Well, there's plenty I can think of you do to help us, so I'll put a
well,
list together
an email.
And,
we'll talk about it.
An email.
All right, gentlemen, I'm signing off. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mike.
Take care.
Mike Johnson, folks. Boy, he was great, wasn't he? Boy, he had a lot of wonderful insight, and I'm glad he got to see the show. He had called me like at 12:15, and he was in traffic, and he could not get the OVW TV to play on it on his phone, so I think he actually watched it on his laptop going down the road while he was driving, believe it or not, guys. That's pretty hardcore. So, very impressive. Well, Ali, what's your deal today? You seem pretty grumpy.
Grumpy?
Yeah, you just seem like you're...
Here's the trend.
Yes.
I gotta say, last night, Michael Hayes once again spoiled my plans.
Yeah.
I thought this guy was out of my life. And he's like, the best way I can describe Michael Hayes is like herpes. It might go away in a little while, but it's always there. And
oh, God.
I use it at the worst possible times. Of all the times for him to come back, and it has to be right then and there. No, it didn't. So I'm sore. I'm a little upset that my master plan didn't come off. And I have a feeling that Michael Hayes and I, we got one more chapter left.
Well,
so,
it was a beautiful master plan, I must say. I mean, bringing Tops back was masterful.
Well, Ali, you've been to war many, many times. And really, I would say you should have expected Hayes or somebody representing him to come back last night. You should have expected something.
Come on, Trent. Why would I expect Michael Hayes to come back? I mean,
Well, if you recall, Kay's was healthy. Shouldn't he have been fighting Ali? Instead of having somebody else fight his battles for him?
Somebody else cuts my promos for me now, too.
Well, sorry, Ali. I'm upset at the way you were mistreated on the internet today, and I'm a little defensive of you. I'll be quiet.
Listen, Omar and I put such a beatdown on Michael Hayes that I honestly didn't think he was going to come back for a while. I mean, it was a miracle that they even pulled out the win that last time. And, you know, clearly Michael Hayes' intention is to make my life a living hell, and he seems to, you know, come in at the worst possible times, and last night was just another example of it, and I'm sure that we're going to have a square off again in the future, and this time the war will be over.
If I may make a suggestion that may seem kind of a left field, but let me throw something out, okay, Ali? Just throw it out. I know you may reject this, but think about this, how you could really get Michael Hayes back. I got it for you, okay?
Please.
Date his mother.
Yeah, there's some that call me eye candy, Trent.
I know that. So
In the gym, they are always looking at him. What was the girl calling him at the bar the other night? Jacob from Twilight. He said that's what all the young girls thought he looked like.
What better way to get back at Michael Hayes and take his mom on a date? Think about that for a second.
I did see stars in her eyes when you all confronted each other.
Yeah, see?
You know, Ali, if I can just ask one question, I'm not sure what Hayes' problem is with you and why he continues to terrorize you. I mean, what'd you ever do to that kid?
Well, now, wait a minute, you know. Come on. Stole his leg. You know, kept his leg.
He won his leg.
No.
It was an award for winning a match, if I remember correctly.
He won his leg, but then later he lost the leg back, and he stole the leg after losing leg back. Then Ali tried to play nice. It was all a plan. I mean, he's been nothing but a snake to Michael Hayes.
That's not how I recall it, but maybe Ali shed some light.
Come on, that's kind of harsh. I mean, you got a guy here who's trying to make a name off of me, and, you know, he totally started this thing off the wall. If you recall, he was calling me out when I wasn't even in the country. Let's go back before all of the shenanigans involving the lovely Mrs. Hayes, and let's look at the facts. Michael Hayes was calling me out when I wasn't even there.
Right. That's true. Yeah, it's true.
He was calling out when he knew I wasn't around to make me look like a punk so he could make a name off of himself. So, you know.
And if I recall, you even tried to give him some friendly advice about the problems that come with having
with the names, the famous
name of someone who's already been established in sports.
Exactly.
I mean, you were the nice veteran taking the young kid aside. And trying to.
Ali, I can call you a snake because now you've got. What's it on your rear end? Is that a cobra? You got a snake on your rear end.
Sure. The back like cobra.
What's so funny? He does.
Ali, you still should. I still say that leg would have made a great lamp.
Yeah.
I think the best part was when Gilbert Corsi said that Ali was eating his on the leg. I love that. Did that happen?
There are a lot of uses for a prosthetic leg. And you know, there's no question that I'm a child of privilege. You know, money's no object, so I pretty much have whatever I want. And I've never had a prosthetic leg, so I'll admit it was alluring to me to own one. It comes with a car charger. So I wanted it because I didn't have one. And maybe things got a little bit carried away. Maybe that is correct. But, you know, as far as I was concerned, the war was over. I beat Michael Hayes 5 times in a row. He beat me twice. Then we had a tag match, and he won. End of story. there was no reason for him to come back and jump in. I mean, there's people have been pointing. Christian, you're a defense attorney, and you're not even speaking up here. People have been pointing the finger at me for some fictitious crime that there's no record of happening.
I will say this. Everybody's these allegations that Ali is the one that put Hayes in the hospital. I mean, I have not heard one witness who said they saw it happen. I haven't seen anyone make a statement saying that Ali attacked Hayes. I haven't seen any medical report. Hayes looked fine last night. In this country, in America, where Ali is an American, I remind you, it's innocent until proven guilty. And just because I say you have sex with sheep, that didn't mean that it's true. It's just the allegation. So as far as I'm concerned, this whole Ali put him in the hospital is a bunch of crap. You know, there's a couple things said about Ali that I take a little offense to.
The only thing I would say is, I would think if Ali put Michael Hayes in the hospital, he'd actually be bragging about that.
Exactly. He'd be coming out bragging. But, you know, I think there's kind of Danny Davis is a good old boy, and I think there's some discrimination stuff going on, if I'm going to be completely honest. I'm half Lebanese, and I've heard some derogatory commentary about Ali and his background, and that's kind of what's made us actually speak is, I feel like some of the racial slurs, I think that may need to be dealt with. And if Ali asks me and hires me, it's definitely an issue that I would definitely be interested in.
Just another day at the airport, Christian.
And Ali, let me say something. Since like backstage scoops were coming out, which I didn't know about, it pisses me off that Mike Johnson scooped me. That pisses me off. But I want to send a special shout out to my girlfriend Anne Marie and her BFF Christine, who are down in Florida. Right now they're at a lunch with Jeff Hardy that they paid $99 to attend, if you can imagine that. They're going to the TNA pay-per-view tonight. But Ali, here's a scoop, okay?
I'm ready.
And you need to do something about this, Ali. Last night at the bar, Anne-Marie had a big thing of nachos. I'm just saying.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, if it makes its way on the internet, then I'll believe you. But only then, Trent.
I'm just saying. You know what to do, Ollie.
Well,
Larry, have you got any other questions or comments before we start wrapping this puppy down? It's been an interesting show, boy. Number two has been quite a show. But anything else, Larry?
No, just it was very entertaining. And as you said, just from reading what you've written, and that's basically my exposure, is watching the TV shows and then reading what you wrote about Saturday Night Special, it continues to be very entertaining. I'm glad to be part of it.
And I just wanted to mention the other news coming out of last night, besides Cliff Compton and Ali, and besides Paradise and Damon Olivencia, and besides Mike Mondo being injured and beating Ruby Switchblade non-title, was there was a title change last night, guys. Women's title, Taylor Hendricks defeated Lady JoJo to win the women's title.
Thank God. Thank God. There is a God.
Really? Well, I don't know. I got the feeling JoJo isn't going away anytime soon. But for now, she's dealt with. For now, she is dealt with. So, and just one more thing, maybe unrelated, but this is a question for you, Jamie, and Ali, Christian, and Larry knows a little bit about this, but have you guys ever known Jim Cornette to be speechless?
I think
ever.
He was slightly speechless when he received his tape via courier at Ring of Honor that the man who walked out OVW on his watch was the one that was bringing his worst enemy back to Ring of Honor.
Well, I rendered Cornette speechless at the Ring of Honor taping, Miss Gaby. I made him speechless.
Yep.
After the Kevin Steen angle, He walked by, and I said, I wanted to say to him, because we were right along the guardrail there, and I wanted to say to him, I wanted to say, Jim, you swore on your mother's grave that Steve would never be back. But I didn't say that. But I did say, Jim, you promised, you swore that Kevin Steve would never be back. And he stopped, and he looked at me, and he went, and he walked his head down and walked away. He had nothing. He had nothing. Jim Cornette had nothing to say.
Take that to the bank. That doesn't happen often.
That is impressive.
Yeah, he wanted to have a comeback. He wanted a comeback, but he just simply could not. So,
I asked him in the ring, come at me hard and let me go promo with you. He had me tongue tied, tripping over my tongue, and it was probably one of my most embarrassing moments in wrestling, besides the cake and the face incident.
Yeah, if anybody wants to watch a cake in the face, of course, OVWrestling.com, the new episodes come out every single Monday. Please, if you're not watching OVW,
they might want to fast forward that part. It's really not worth watching.
No, put that in slow motion. If you're not watching OVW Wrestling TV, every single Monday, OVWrestling.com, you can go on there and watch it for free. And yes, just as a little spoiler, the show that will be released tomorrow, Christian Mastagni, that pumpkin head, that peanut head, is going into a cake. And he comes up with a face full of frosting. Looks like a fucking Joker. It's great. You know? So, just a little teaser for all you folks out there. But, Ali,
I can't say enough about Ali and Jamin and the work they've done at OVW, the work they've done in helping me, just in the sense of the little things, you know, where to stand, what to say, eye contact, the way they work with the younger guys. In all sincerity, they're two of the main reasons that I think OVW's improving. And in all seriousness, my hat is off to both of them.
Oh, cool deal. Ali, you got anything you want to plug this month around, this time around?
Ali? Can you guys hear me? Sorry, my phone locked up.
Okay,
another genius plug is the iPhone 3G, which is now to the point where I barely use it, and it's locking up and making my duties here today incredibly difficult, so I can't endorse that. But, just check out OVWrestling.com every week. It's live every Wednesday, 4400 Shepherdsville Road. You'll get to see Christian Mastagni live in person doing what he does best.
Oh, and another thing, there's a lot of people that ask me in the Louisville area, why they don't have it on DirecTV. And I would just like to say that while it is on people that have Insight, if you want OVW on DirecTV, notify DirecTV. Let them know that you want OVW Wrestling as one of your options.
Yeah, I don't mind appearing on DirecTV.
I did want to ask, Ali, you said something last month about you were going to be some, what did you say, a cable TV star? Well, what did you mean by that, what you plugged last month? Can you divulge anything?
Still can't divulge anything. Just know that there's projects in the works, multiple irons in the fire.
Okay.
It's an evolving thing.
Sounds like something I could really get involved in and take a nice modest percentage of and try to speed it up with the earnings.
You know, one time I hired Christian Mastagni and he made like three phone calls and charged me $500. So it was much more than that.
Now, if we're really going to shoot on what that, on how that played out, you got the deal of the century.
True. But yeah, as far as my projects, Trent, you know, I'm just working on these different things on the side and concentrating on my true passion, and that's telling stories in the ring and, you know, looking forward to the next opportunities. And I think there's a lot of opportunities on the horizons, not just for me, but for a lot of the guys at OVW.
Yeah, it seems that way. Hey, Jamie, you got anything you want to plug?
Yeah, my T-shirt website, beyondclothing.com. That's B-Y-O-N-D-E, clothing.com. If you can't spell clothing, you're an idiot. Just kidding.
That's a shame and I want.
Yeah. No, and thanks for having us again. And you know, such as Ali, I have a lot of big things coming up very soon for me as well. Things that are gonna put my name on a larger level. So that's something to definitely look forward to in the future. I'm just excited to do it.
Okay, great guys. Well, this has been a lot of fun, and I've really enjoyed this episode of the Jamie Olivencia Show and Christmas Cake Show.
I'm kind of start being like Bobby Heenan when he used to, on prime time when he wasn't even really invited. He just came on, then all of a sudden started calling himself. And I'm your host, Bobby Heenan. I mean, I think I'm just going to start calling into the show and try to be a host myself, uninvited.
Hey, man, the more the merrier. The more calls, the merrier. And I guess I will let the cat out of the bag. Our next show will be Sunday, December 11th, same time at 2 p.m., right during NFL Sunday. December 11th, our guest will be none other than OVW rookie sensation Jason Wayne. What a year this guy's had. He will be on next month, guys.
God.
Jason Wayne, I don't know about you, Christian, but I think he's the man.
I'm not gonna say the guy's not an incredible talent and isn't gonna be a great star, but I really hate him.
Yeah,
he's
well,
awesome,
look out, because he's coming after Rudy Switchblade, so look out.
He's
hey,
awesome, man. He will not get a shot at Rudy Switchblade. I'm gonna make a list of the order of contenders as I see fit. And Rudy, I promise you, we are going to go back to the 30-day rule where the champion will only defend the title every 30 days.
Interesting. Well, it's kind of like this podcast, every 30 days. December 11th with Jason Wayne, so join us then. And in the meantime, like we've been saying, check out OVWrestling.com every week. Buy some DVDs. Help them out.
And what
day is
the Thursday night special, gentlemen? The next one?
I'm sorry?
I said, what date is our next Saturday night special?
It's usually the first week of first weekend of every month.
It's always up on OVWrestling.com, the date of it. This is the rare time where you can't see it online. You have to either order the DVD, but I promise you all it's a complete different experience than our TV tapings or our house shows. It's equivalent to what I would say a pay-per-view. And if you haven't been to one of our Saturday night specials, I think they really are special, and they really do. I think the energy's higher, and I think the guys, well, I think all of them take it to a different level.
And I will just say the OVW DVDs, in addition to the great matches you get, they tend to be worth it just for the commentary.
Kenny Bolin alone is priceless.
Yeah, and they tend to be a little, I'm going to think of the word. They're pretty loose on TV, but maybe even looser in the DVD format sometimes.
Oh, you should hear the dark matches.
I can imagine what's being said during those dark matches. Hey, just real quick, I know I'm jumping around too, but I'm glad the production got a little bit. I don't know if you guys watch the TV or noticed, but a couple of weeks ago, it got kind of darker and there's camera shots and stuff. But I found out that, I guess it was fixed now, but like the tripod on your hard camera was got broken. You guys know about that? That's why one show was kind of filmed.
I think when ROH came in, they switched up the lighting. I think it's as simple as that. And I think they're still fixing there. They did fix it. I don't even pay attention sometimes.
So TNA, if we're gonna train your guys, throw a few bucks down so we can get some better cameras.
Well, and it's actually been normal the last couple of weeks, which is good, because like I was saying, man, the last thing you want to have is production, you know, hurt such a good show. And that one show, I was sitting there cussing at the TV because there was so many missed shots, but then I found out the tripod was broken, so it kind of made sense. So, but got it back, so hopefully it continues on. Yeah, I would think with TNA thing that, and knowing that TNA is watching the show every week, that, you know, production's going to be, seems kind of stay where it is. So anyway, anybody got any final thoughts before we get off here?
Hey, thanks for having us again. Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you very much, guys. You guys are all great. This has been a great show, and of course, my reports are all over the internet. My OVW reports, my TV reports usually come out Thursday nights if I can get it done, and sometimes Friday. But all the internet.
Trent, they're as much detail as one could do in sitting in the show, and I think I just thank you for getting the word out there about OVW.
Well, hopefully, I enjoy doing them. I wish I had. I do my best with them. Sometimes I go back and read them, and I could have done better. My time gets limited, but I do the best I can with the time I got. Put it that way.
When you're sitting there live, I'm sure it's not easy.
Yeah, and just when I get to write them, you know, work schedules and stuff. But I'm doing the best. Yeah, but check out my reports and check the show out live. And I guess we'll talk to you guys again December 11th at 2 p.m. with Jason Wayne. Until then, enjoy some OVW.
All right.
Because
this is your host, Christian Miscagni.
Oh, Jamin Alvencia show, Christian Miscagni show, Ali show. Because life's too short for crappy wrestling. See you next month, folks. Thanks.
Thanks, Trent.
Thank you.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.